Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
My message today is about worship being a battle. The point of worship is to do battle. You know, in the spiritual, we are in a warfare, and there needs to be times where we just get down and we worship God with everything we have and we fight for what we know is right, what we believe to be true in our hearts and our minds. I'm going to share with you guys a dream that I had recently, and it rocked me a little bit. There's a pun there, but you don't get it yet. So in my dream, I was walking along in this peaceful meadow, very serene, very nice. And I hear this praise being sung to God. It was amazing, angelic almost. But the thing is I'm all alone, and I don't know who's worshiping God, so it's a little odd. So I say, "Where's that praise coming from?" And then it stops. And it says, "Right here, at your feet." So I look down, and I see a rock. I was like, "That's weird. Just a rock." Now, this isn't any ordinary rock. This was a talking rock. And I asked the rock, "Why are you praising God?" And the rock said, "Because no one else is singing his praises." And I said, "But rocks don't talk, and they certainly don't sing." And the rock said, "As long as no one else is going to praise God, I'm going to do it." And I didn't feel like arguing with this rock, so I woke up. Now you see why this dream rocked me, right? I'm not sure if there's any significance to this dream, but it did get me thinking. Why do we praise? Why? And if we didn't, would the rocks really cry out? So if you read through Luke chapter 19, verses 38 and 40, it's on the overhead. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This takes place on Palm Sunday, a week before Jesus was to be crucified. He rides in on a donkey, and he tells the Pharisees that if they stopped praising him, that the rocks would cry out. The Bible tells us that everything in creation was made for his glory. It's found in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. And I have no doubt that with anything, with God, anything is possible. But the feeling I was left with when I woke up for this dream was not like, "Oh, thankfully if we keep quiet, these rocks are going to cry out." No, instead, I was left thinking, if these rocks start to sing and start to cry out, we need to sing a little louder. We need to raise our voices. Sure, everything was made to glorify God, but we as humans are God's greatest creation. We're the only creation that was made in his image. We alone get the reward of having his son die for our sins. Only humans. So I felt if it's on us to praise God. Forget the rocks. You know, as long as I'm here, there's not going to be any rocks singing to God. And I hope you guys feel the same way. We can raise our voices, shout out, and sing praise to God. Forget the rocks. Amen? Yeah. All right. Okay, guys, time to wake up. So now that you know that you want to worship, because I heard you guys say it, let's see how you can actually use worship to improve your walk with God, ultimately your walk in life in general. So I have 3 points I'm going to go through to help explain how worship helps bring us closer to God and aligns us with the will that God has planned for us. So my first point is worship is our defense. Worship is our defense. This is where it all starts. Think of your walk with God as a battle, and think of yourself as a member of the Lord's army. We kid ourselves sometimes. We think that our walk with God is somehow passive. You know, God is all-powerful. He's in control. He has a great heart, and he wants to take care of us. But sometimes this allows us to believe that we can just sit back, do nothing, and he's going to be there for us. And it's true that God is always there. He will never leave you or forsake you. But there's forces in this world that are out there to get you, that are out there to distract you from God. And some of them aren't necessarily evil. Some of them are just things every day, you know, problems that we face. Facebook, Netflix, right? Wrong conversations that we're having, certain relationships in our life that are toxic. These things are not always evident to us. There's an enemy on the prowl who is seeking to destroy you. And I mean destroy you. If you do nothing to protect yourself, you're just a sitting duck. Remember that game Battleship? I have a picture. Hopefully it comes up. Essentially, you get these boats and you place them on a grid. Here it is. And your opponent says a letter followed by a number, like A1. And you look on your grid, and if your boat's there, you say hit. And if it's not, you say miss. And eventually every point on your boat gets hit, and then you say you sunk my battleship. Just want to point out in this picture, the 50s are awesome. The father and the son are playing, and in the background, the women are doing the dishes. So battleship. Living your Christian life passively. If you expect God to take everything and take care of you and keep you safe without putting any effort in yourself, you're playing battleship. You put yourself out there and you just hope that Satan says the wrong letter followed by the wrong number and he misses you. And if you do this long enough, you will get hit and eventually you will sink your life. Don't let yourself falter so easy. Make sure you're building up a strong defense that's going to keep you afloat. Now, worship is your defense. It all starts in that quiet, in that secret place, when you wake up in the morning, every single day. If you're only spending time in worship on Sunday morning, then you're showing up injured. You're showing up unequipped. You're not showing up prepared. It's the most critical part of your defense strategy is your alone time with God. Don't miss this point. It is a must to worship God every single day. How often? Every single day. Sunday is not enough to keep you safe for the week. Every day when you wake up, it's a new day. Right? No day is the same. The blessings and the protection from yesterday, they're not going to cover you for today. That's why the morning is like the most important time to prepare yourself. You wouldn't go outside naked, right? You get dressed first in clothes. That'd be pretty awkward if you guys all showed up here naked. So, in the same way, we're to clothe ourselves in the righteousness of God. And it talks in the Bible about putting on the full armor of God. This is how you prepare yourself to do battle. So let's read through Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Finally, be strong in the Lord. And in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have everything done everything to stand, stand firm then. With the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is a strong defense, and it takes time in the morning to prepare yourself. I can't stress how important this is. Every morning when you wake up, make time to spend with God. There's a reason why it says to seek him first, not second, not third, not right at the end of the day, but first. And you might say, well, Burton, I'm not a morning person. You know, it's really hard for me to get out of bed. Then go to bed earlier. I'm not a morning person either if I stay up too late watching Netflix, and it's happened. Right? I'm not perfect. Sometimes I don't feel like getting up because I did not go to bed on time. It's important to get into this routine. Don't make excuses. Make the time to prepare for the day, and I guarantee it's going to change your life. For me, when I'm not spending time with God, I certainly feel it. And I'm pretty sure the people around me feel it as well. You know, maybe my anger is just a little bit stronger. My fuse is just a little bit shorter. And then I start to have doubts about myself. And then I start to complain about the people around me. You know those bad hair days? Or those really cranky days? That's me when I don't get my God time. But it goes deeper than that. When I'm not working on my defense, sometimes it feels like God's taking me out of the game. Like all of a sudden, I can't minister and reach out to people the way that I normally can. In joy, in times of struggle, forget about it. There's none of that. My grace is lessened. And at the first time of struggle, I just give up and I throw in the towel because God's not even putting me in the game. On the other hand, when I prepare myself and I build up that strong defense, when I put on the full armor of God, where does God put us? Right in the front lines, in front of everything. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, I have opportunities to share faith. Like people are literally coming up to me and saying, hey, Burton, what makes you this way? Why are you have this peace in this struggle? Why are you calm when you should be freaking out right now? And then I get to share with them. It's because of Jesus. And I get to reach people. Or maybe if I face a tragedy that normally should rock me, like in my business, if all of a sudden I can't find any work or I lose a ton of money, which happens and has happened recently, but if I'm worshiping God, I have a peace and I can overcome that. Or if I hear bad news, like your child has this rare disease and we don't know really what it is, basically one in a million, and he's going to struggle his entire life. He's going to require surgeries. It's going to be painful. And then I'm left to deal with it, and Lisa and I have to deal with his struggle and his circumstances. But then I start to worship God, and God starts showing me all the great things he has planned for my son, Everett. And he shows me like all the excitement and the joy he has and the ability to play sports well and an unabounding amount of energy. And I'm like, he can overcome anything. And then he begins to worship. And then all of a sudden, things that should rock me and destroy me don't. And I worship and I begin to rise up. I begin to overcome. And the same is true for you guys. You can overcome any difficulty if you just worship God. Even in our darkest hours, right? We can rise up and we say, it is well. That's the power of preparing yourself daily. So let's look at the point number two here. Worship is our ammunition, right? If you're going into battle, you need a strong defense, and you also need a plan of attack. We spoke about our defense. Now I'm going to share with you how we can actually use worship as a tool and ammunition to defeat the devil, to defeat obstacles in our lives, and ultimately to overcome. I am so thankful that the battle belongs to the Lord. There's a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's awesome. It's a time when Israel was under attack. There's armies coming at them from every single side. On both sides, they can't run, they can't flee. They're totally outnumbered, outmanned, certain defeat, certain death. So what do? They turn to God, because this is God's people. And the Spirit of God fell on a man named Jahaziel, a member of the family of the Levitical priest. So let's pick it up in verse 15, and this is him speaking. He says, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give to you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord be with you." It's a good word to hear from God through a prophet at a time when you don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. But what happens next is truly amazing. The king actually appoints some people to go out before the army and to start singing praises to God, to worship him. Could you imagine being part of that worship team? So there's this battle, and you guys are probably going to lose. We're way outnumbered. You're going to die. But I want you to go up ahead, you know, play some trumpets and some other instruments, and just sing to God. That's our plan of attack. That's what God has told me to do. It's like, yeah, right. But this is why I love Scripture, because it's chock full of insight and chock full of things that we can take and we can use today in a practical sense, right? Like, look at our service today. The worship team gets up here, and they prepare the way. They're the first ones up here, the first line of defense, and there is so much power in that. Make no mistake, when they're up here, they're doing battle in the spiritual realm. They are fighting on our behalf. And together out there, you guys, when you're singing and you're singing praises to God, you guys are doing battle too. You guys are stepping out in faith, taking it upon yourself to lift God in his rightful place. And that's where we find the army of Israel. And they're going into this battle. So what song should they sing? Well, they choose to sing God is Faithful by Chris Tomlin. Although I'm pretty sure Chris may have borrowed it from this passage. So let's read verse 21. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." You can go to the next slide. So you keep reading, and you find out that while the Israelites were singing these praises, God set ambushes on the other armies. And all these other armies begin to fight against themselves, even against their own people, their own allies. And before you know it, every single one of them is dead. There's nobody left to come against God's army. And what do? They walk out into this battlefield, and they collect all the spoils of war. It is such a huge blessing. Like, after they do this, they're way better off than when they were faced with this threat of an attack. And it's amazing how God works. Sometimes in our lives, we have the threat of an attack. And we worry, how am I going to make it through this month? I don't have enough money to pay the bills. How am I going to feed my family? Where am I going to find another job? How am I going to overcome this injury, this disability now that I can't work? These are real questions. How am I going to find healing or the right doctors for a loved one who is suffering? How am I going to overcome this loss in my life of someone close to me? The threat of an attack. Then we begin to worship him in those times. In those times when we have nothing else to do. And all of a sudden, things get flipped upside down. And you have more than you were needing. Isn't it amazing when God comes through in our time of need? Like, we all have, hindsight's 2020, right? We're about to enter into 2020. Hindsight, 2020. We can see God working in amazing ways when we look back. And it's good to do that from time to time. And look back at the struggles where you thought, there was no way I was going to make it out. But I decided to stay with God. I decided to worship in that time of need. Only God can take an impending slaughter and turn it into financial gain. That's what he did for this army. Notice how Israel still had to face their opponent. They didn't sit back, right? They still had to go into battle, led by their worship team, and show up. They weren't sitting ducks. They weren't playing the game Battleship. God did all the fighting, but it was their job to seek him, to listen to his direction, and then to obey. It's the same with us. You know, we use our time with God to find out where he wants us to go. He gives us will to do his will, and he gives us signs, kind of directs our paths. But it's on us to step out. It's on us to be obedient. Otherwise, nothing is going to get accomplished. Worship was what moved the hand of God to destroy the forces that were bigger than them. Worship moved God to take action. And when we come together as a church And when we begin to worship and do it in spirit and truth, like we're called to do, we have the ability to move the hand of God to take action. That's powerful. Do you want to see miracles like in the Bible? Then worship and move the hand of God. Do you want to see healings? Physical healings, emotional healings, spiritual healings. You know, sometimes we are so broken spiritually and we need to be healed and we don't see anything happening because we need to worship. Because worship moves the hand of God. In Psalms 22, verse 3, you know, David writes about God inhabiting the praises of his people. This is so powerful and useful in battle. It's the next slide. Are you in a battle and you can't see any way out? Maybe you're going through something and you don't know what the next step is. Maybe you're at a crossroads in your life, you have a decision to make. Should I go left? Should I go right? What should I do? Maybe it's so overwhelming that you don't even know if you should go at all. Maybe you don't even know what you should be praying about. Sometimes that's true. You know, you come to God, you don't even know what to ask. If this is you, in times of confusion is when we need to begin to worship. Because if God inhabits the praises of his people, then logically when we begin to worship him, he's going to draw near to us, he's going to get close to us, and he'll comfort us, and he'll tell us what he wants us to do. Worship is an open channel between earth and heaven. He inhabits those praises. So when you don't know where to go, you don't know where to turn to, you don't know how to overcome the struggle, just start to worship, and you're going to find the answer. Because God comes when we praise him. And sometimes in my effort, in my striving, you know, I always start out by trying to do it on my own. I can do this. I'm a self-made man. I got this. I don't need any help. And I fail, and I get lost. And I'm like, why isn't this working? And then I start to worship. I'm like, oh, I need God. I can't do this on my own. And you know what? It's awesome. He shows up with that power, and any problem we're facing, he can overcome. I believe worship can get us out of our most difficult situations. You know, if you're in a bind, praise God. He's going to get you out of it. And I'm not the only one who feels this way. You look in the Bible, two men, Paul and Silas, find themselves beaten and in prison after being wrongfully accused. What did they do? Well, let's look. Acts chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Say what? Here these guys are in prison, and they're like, well, let's praise God. And when they do, a physical earthquake takes place. Like the ground begins to shake. Imagine worshiping God here, and all of a sudden the building starts shaking with the power of God. That's what happened here. And their chains fell off. Not only their chains, but all the prisoners' chains fell off. It's interesting to note that. And the prison doors that were keeping them captive just flew open. It's amazing. When we choose to praise God amidst our struggles, I feel like there's even more power. Because we're saying, screw you, Satan. Screw you. We're going to do better today. We believe that our God is greater. You take Satan, you crush him under your feet. Our problems are not too big for God. He can overcome anything. Right? Here we see in these two examples how God uses worship to defeat armies and people coming against us, our enemies, and how he uses it to break the chains. We all have chains in our lives, things that come, wrap us up, bind us up, keep us down, and worship can overcome that. It's interesting when they were worshiping that everyone was listening too. And sometimes in our lives, when we're worshiping and we're living a life of worship, people around you are going to start to notice. People around you can see that. Like I said before, it's a great way to testimony and to reach people for Jesus. And in this story, we find out that because of what they were doing, the jailer actually receives salvation. Not only that, his entire household come to know Christ. They come to know God because of this event. And if we want people to come to know God, we can begin to worship and see miracles happen and that can be a witness to others. All this is accomplished through the great power of worship. Now, my third and final point. Worship is our victory. Often in the Bible, we see worship to God as a celebration. After returning the Ark of the Covenant in their victory in battle, David worshiped God, and he didn't hold back. So let's look at 2 Samuel 6, 14 and 15. Wearing a linen ephod, David danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. Here David's giving it all to God. He's letting it all hang out. He doesn't care, right? He's basically dancing around in his underwear. Praise God. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I am worshiping the Lord. This is intimate between David and God, even though people can see him. Sometimes we should be worshiping a little more like David. Too often we're held back by cultural norms or things that society puts on us. Sometimes we're held back by judgment, the fear of what other people are going to think. You know, I can't be too crazy. I've got to keep this normal. But who are we worshiping for? We are worshiping for an audience of one. You've heard that, right? An audience of one. We're worshiping for God. On Sunday morning when you come in these doors, you sit in these seats, it's not a show. You guys aren't coming here to be entertained. You're not even coming here for yourself and what you can get out of it. It's true. Too often we get caught up in not liking the song, or maybe the guitar is too loud, or, man, if we just had some drums, worship would be so much better. Do you think God cares if we have drums? No! God is way more concerned about the state of your heart and how you are acting towards him and what you are giving him. Do you know who the true instruments in worship are? Us. You and me and every single person here, not the instruments being played. So it is so much more pleasing to God when we give him all of ourselves and we come here with no expectations, right? You all come here with expectations. You might not believe it, but you think Sunday needs to be a certain way. I'm going to get fed. I'm going to get certain things out of here today, but that's not how God designed worship. Worship is the only area in our Christian walk where it's all about him. Think about it. We have salvation. That's definitely for us. Forgiveness. That's for us. God gives that for us. Tithing. Tithing is for us. What? Tithing? No, that's for the church. I'm giving my money to God. No, it's already God's. Do you think he needs the money? No. And God's always going to take care of his local church, and he's always going to support it. But God pours out so much blessing when we decide to give to him what already belongs to him. I don't even know why I'm saying this, but I heard today that our church is, numbers are down in giving, which I think is just absolutely ridiculous, because that means our church is missing out on the blessing that God has for us. God doesn't need the money. City Light's going to be okay, but let's take back that blessing, okay? Sorry for the tangent. Where was I? Worship. Worship is 100% about God. It's the only area where we get to give back to him. Think about a child, helpless, can't do anything on his own, needs to be fed, needs to be clothed, put shelter over his head. What can that child give back to their parents, really? All it can give back is thankfulness, a smile, and joy. You know, my 4-year-old daughter, Briella, she often makes up these songs about how much she loves me. I love my dad. I love my dad. She'll walk around singing these songs. It blesses me so much. And it's the same way with God. All we have to give back to him is a thankful heart. All we have to give back to him is the praise that he deserves. We're just children, helpless. We have nothing on our own. But God is so amazing. So amazing. God knows us fully. God created us. He knows the hairs on our head. You know, he knows our innermost struggles. He knows where when we're suffering. He knows when we need him. God knows us. And worship is about us getting to know God. Do you know God's greatest desire is for us to truly know him through and through. God wants us to know who he is. And we can know him through worship. So back to David. 2 Samuel chapter 6, 20, 21. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him, said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes." David said he celebrated before everyone around him and did it so he was cool. No, that's not what he said. David said he celebrated before the Lord. Before the Lord. He didn't care about what was going on around him. All he was concerned about was that he was giving his best to God. Sometimes we're concerned too much about the people around us. I recently heard someone talk about, we actually saw this video Thursday night at our worship meeting, and they're talking about how we can have good worship to bad gods. Good worship to bad gods. And you think about it. You think about a sporting event, like a hockey game. You go into this hockey game, and you're cheering your face off. You know, you're loving it when your team's winning. You're in victory together. Everyone has weird, crazy face paint on, giant foam fingers. It gets a little weird at hockey games, okay? Let's face it. You become a little undignified, and you are worshiping that hockey team. Or at a rock concert, or any other concert where you just a pop idol, maybe it's country musician, if you like that thing. So you go in, and you begin to worship this rock band. You are screaming, you are yelling, you're lifting lighters or cell phones, whatever it is. You are worshiping those people up there. This is good worship, but it's to a bad God. We need to start giving good worship to our good God, the one and only God. Unfortunately, too often we have bad worship for our good God. Bad worship, you've seen it. You come in, you sit still, arms at your side. Sometimes you meld the words. Maybe you can't sing very well and you don't want people around you to know that you can't sing very well. Bad worship. Don't want to lift your hands. You don't want to get into it. Sometimes you don't worship because you don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. If you waited to worship until you felt like it, you're never going to worship. Many times, you know, I come up here and I'm on the worship team and I've just had a crap week. Honestly, I'm struggling. Things aren't going well. Things aren't going good. If I waited till I felt like it, I wouldn't get up here and I wouldn't worship. But every time, and I mean every single time that I begin to worship God, the feeling comes. And then I'm filled with the desire to worship more and more and more and more and more. And before you know it, I want to get undignified. I want to start making a ruckus. I want to praise God. I want to dance all over the place. But it wasn't because of the feeling. It was because I was being obedient. And God calls us to be obedient. If I was self-conscious, I would not worship. You know, and I know sometimes, like, I can get a little loud and... And yeah, and sometimes, you know, people have come up to me and use that against me. And Satan's used that against me as an attack and say, you know what, you got to keep quiet. You know, you're a little off key there. You know, that's not good. But then there's been moments where people have spoken into my life and just said how much they enjoyed it. And how it just is such a great example of worship. And, you know, I've been told that by people who are no longer with us even. And it just has such a great meaning and power that I am always, always going to give myself to God. I'm not going to hold back anything. And I think that's what God wants us to do as a church, to not hold back, give everything we have in worship. I do it because God deserves it. You know, without God, I would not be up here. Without God, I would not have my beautiful wife and the five amazing children I have without God. But because of his relationship, and the relationship I've built with him, I've been blessed so much. City Light in this building has long been called a house of worship. It's been prophesized over, you know, and some people don't believe in things like that, but I believe it's true. I believe this is a house of worship. And I believe the time has come where we do get back to basics, just like this sermon series coming up, back to basics. And the basic is that worship is on the front lines. Worship is what goes before, and we just need to get back to putting the priority on worship that it deserves, making worship number one. You know, if we're in here and we're worshiping God and it goes over the allotted 10 minutes, that's okay. And if we decide to lift our hands up to God and worship Him, that's fine. If all of a sudden someone wants to shout out, "Hallelujah!" That's excellent. I woke you guys up. It's good. If we fall down on our face before God, bowing, putting Him up in the place He deserves to be, that's worship. So in closing, worship is our greatest defense. Worship is a powerful tool to defeat our spiritual enemies. And God deserves all our celebration in declaring His victory. Victory over death. Victory over our sin and our lives, what keeps us. Victory in our lives so we can go out and be bold and be strong and be courageous. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we come to You right now and we thank You so much for everything You've done for us. For the power You displayed on the cross, where You gave Your life so that we could live eternally and that we could have freedom from our sins, God. We thank You so much that You've given us the ability to worship You. It's all we have to offer You, but it's also everything You deserve. You deserve every single ounce of breath that we have in our lungs should be given to You, Father. God, right now, we lay ourselves before You, and we ask for forgiveness for any time that we've given our worship to someone who doesn't deserve it, where we've given our worship to a bad God. Lord, please forgive us. Forgive me, Father. God, let Your Spirit reign in this building. Let Your Spirit reign in this place, Father. God, we are open to Your promptings. We are willing to what You want to do in our lives, God. You know, right now I'm just going to pray with anybody who maybe feels like they're falling away from their walk with God. Maybe you have one time given yourself over to Jesus, but you know, you've fallen away a little bit. That fire has gone a little cold. Maybe it's been a while since you've been engaged in the Christian culture. If that's you, I'm just going to pray for you guys. Father, we just ask that You come into the hearts and souls and minds of those people, God, who have fallen away from You, Father, and that You would light that fire again. God, we ask that You stir up inside every man and woman here the desire to follow You, the desire to know You, and the desire to lift You up in the place where You deserve to be, God. God, we thank You so much that You're King and Lord over our lives. Amen.